CEE Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. CBS News has learned that Boeing 737 MAX 9 jets could take off as soon as Friday. But CBS's Chris Van Cleef says Boeing still has a lot of work to do.
The Boeing production line stopped for a safety stand-down focused on quality control issues. Alaska and United Airlines are now performing newly approved inspections on the door panels located in row 26 on Alaska and row 30 on United. Mechanics will confirm that door panel is properly secured and safe for flight.
Alabama has executed a man using nitrogen gas, the first time that method's been used in the U.S. More from CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
Those who were trying to prevent the execution of Kenneth Smith pointed to several things. One, when he was convicted of murder, the jury recommended life in prison as a punishment, but the judge overruled them. That is something that is no longer allowed under Alabama law. Also, they point to the November 2022 initial attempt to execute him by lethal injection. It was botched. They could not access a vein in order to administer the drugs.
Former President Trump is said to be opposed to a bipartisan effort in the Senate to reach a joint deal on border issues and aid to Ukraine. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
These negotiations are already wobbly, and Donald Trump can impose his preferences, if not his will, on the dozens and dozens of congressional Republicans who've endorsed him and view him as the leader of the party as 2024 moves through.
Ahead of a scheduled congressional hearing on child safety next week, Meta has changed the way young teens can message people on Instagram and Facebook. Reaction from CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
Requiring younger teenagers to either get parental permission or have an existing connection with someone in order to message with them makes a lot of sense. The key question, of course, is whether or not this is going to help with people's mental health, and in particular, teenagers.
New data shows hearing loss is a lot more common than we thought.
About 38 million Americans suffer from hearing loss, but here's the surprising part. According to a new study, hearing loss is more common in rural communities than big cities, mostly because a lot of jobs in these areas use loud machinery or because of popular activities like hunting.
CBS's Monica Ricks, who tells us experts say starting at age 35, hearing loss is more prevalent among men than women, with the highest rates among white people and seniors. A 25-year-old professional dancer from England who moved to New York City to pursue her career has died after eating a mislabeled cookie containing peanuts. 25-year-old Orla Baxendale ate the cookies at a social gathering in Connecticut. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden was in Wisconsin Thursday pledging $1 billion to replace Superior's critical but aging John Blatnick Bridge to Duluth, where he noted the U.S. infrastructure has fallen to number 13 in the world.
How in God's name can we have the strongest economy in the world if we don't have the strongest and best infrastructure in the world? It's not possible. So we're determined to turn that around. We were determined to turn that around in a big way.
It's part of the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law that's paying for road and bridge repairs nationwide. Wisconsin's projected budget surplus is getting smaller, $3.25 billion now, instead of the previously forecasted $4 billion. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says it's due to a drop in projected growth in tax collections and the deal for more money for the universities of Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A week ago, the Bucks lost by 40 points to the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Last night, it was the Bucks 126-116 over the Cavs at Fiserv Forum. Damian Lillard with 28 points and was asked what went through his mind after hearing Adrian Griffin had been fired as head coach.
Like everybody else, you know, just kind of surprised by it. But I've also been around long enough to know that it's part of the business.
Joe Prunty on serving as interim head coach until a new one is officially announced.
In all of my years of doing this, you know, whatever. It's never been about me.
College hoops, number 14th ranked Marquette down DePaul in Chicago, 86-73. The Badgers will host Michigan State at the Kohl Center tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers fired their strength and conditioning coach, Chris Gizzi, after five seasons. Gizzi was the linebacker for the Pack who carried the U.S. flag onto the field the first game after 9/11. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of rain, fog, even some snowflakes from time to time in the overnight. Our lows dropping to right near the freezing mark with light northeast winds developing. On your Friday, rain possibly mixing with snow at times before it comes to an end. Upper 30s in the late afternoon. It's 33 at our studios.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Biden Building Bridges Thursday edition, a happier happy hour. And it gets happier. Right now, we got James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of a soon-to-be-rebranded show, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media. Probably the Jim Santel Show. That'd be an excellent name for it. Jim, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. We should have been the Michael Kroot Show and Dom.
Hey, Jim. What? However you brand yourselves, I'm always delighted to be in your company, including on a Thursday afternoon.
Well, what an interesting contrast. The current president of the United States bringing home the bacon, delivering a bridge in northern Wisconsin, a bridge to another state, to a future, and the former president sitting in a defamation trial. And let me start with this question. Did Trump have to be there? There was nothing compelling his testimony today. He didn't accomplish anything except probably making himself unsympathetic to the jury. Why was he there other than what?
It is once again, right? It is once again a head scratcher, and you have to believe that all these court appearances are not in any way to have an impact upon the ultimate judgment, but are instead for his purposes so that tonight on Truth Social, in other appearances on the campaign trail, he can once again talk about how he has been victimized. Of course, just the opposite is true. This is the portion of the trial. Judge Lewis Kaplan, federal judge, has previously ruled that the finding of defamation is solid. It is there. This is the portion of the trial we're focusing on, damages. How much money should Donald Trump pay to attempt to restore E. Jean Carroll's reputation and her basic solid reputation in the nation? That's what this issue is about. The case, again, focusing upon monetary damages. To answer your question, no, there's no real, he could certainly be there. He's a right to be there as a defendant, but does not need to be there and certainly does not need to testify because, as you indicated, I think about 3.5 minutes of testimony, all of it irrelevant, frankly, to any damages issue. And as you indicated in a previous segment, you got Judge Kaplan also cutting him off on the second question asked, because once again, he's gone outside of the parameters the judge has set, focusing on damages and not on liability. Also, his responsibility to rein that in, responsibility also of the trial attorneys and themselves to organize this not well done by them once again.
And James Santel, our good friend, former U.S. attorney, the underlying allegation here is that he raped a woman in a Bergstrom department store dressing room. And he has said many times, well, I don't know this woman. I don't recognize this woman. In my understanding, his prior deposition was played again. And we've seen this. We've got this sound. We're going to play it. If you'll indulge us, counsel, Nate, I'm going to need your help. Play Trump from his prior deposition. And he confuses E. Jean Carroll with his former wife. And they played this again today. In my understanding, from the reporting I saw from the courtroom went silent. Play it for the people.
I think so, yes.
And do you recall when you first saw this photo?
At some point during the process, I saw it. That's, I guess, her husband, John Johnson, who was an anchor for ABC. Nice guy. I thought, I mean, I don't know him, but I thought he was pretty good at what he did. I don't even know who the woman. Let's see. I don't know who. It's Marla.
No.
You're saying Marla's in this photo?
That's Marla, yeah. That's my wife.
Which woman are you pointing to? No.
Here.
Carol.
Oh, is that?
The person
okay.
You just pointed to was Eugene Carroll.
Who is that? Who is this?
Point. And the person, the woman on the right is your then wife,
I don't
Ivana?
Know. This was the picture. Ivana. I assume that's John Johnson. Is that
that's Carol?
Because it's very blurry.
No, it's not.
It's getting blurry right about now, Jim. He, of course, used as a defense that I would never find a woman like this attractive. You know, that, of course, is always his defense because there are many allegations that this man has raped or sexually assaulted women. But this is a pretty damning video testimony. I mean, how damning is this to a jury? And the rest of the video I've seen or saw reported on, Jim, how was him
absolutely
boasting about how rich he is and how wealthy he is and what a powerful brand he has. And they're setting the damages based on this guy's claims of how rich he is. This could get really expensive, couldn't it, Jim?
Could get very expensive. And to go to that point, recognize that this jury has before it not only the question about compensatory damages, as we just spoke, but also punitive damages. What is the amount of money that can stop Donald Trump from doing this in the future? And there, unlike the compensatory damages where E. Jean Carroll's presented witnesses who talk about her economic losses, there, the jury is not completely on its own, but can make a determination about what they think this particular fellow needs to have on his judgment that will stop him from doing that in the future. And that's why these kinds of tapes are all telling. No doubt, silence in the courtroom. You can even hear Roberta Kaplan sort of during the course of the deposition. She's representing E. Jean Carroll during the course of the deposition, but also at trial. She is also probably just taken aback by this in the deposition when Donald Trump has identified Marla, and in fact, that's E. Jean Carroll. It is stunning, and it's been a part of the trials previously. This is not going to go well, and it's just more indication that the jury has in front of it not only a substantial basis upon which to return virtually everything that E. Jean Carroll and Roberta Kaplan are asking for, but also then to punish him, to stop him, to try to get his attention, if that's possible, with Donald Trump, and to tell him that you now have to pay this amount of money. You continue to do this, it's only going to get worse.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel joining us. Jim, always a pleasure. Donald Trump continues, like even last night, to my understanding, like 30-some tweets or messages, you know, out there on the social media, ripping on the judge, on E. Jean Carroll. This continues literally to this day, Jim. And this is something that, you know, this is the second one. I've seen reporting that perhaps there could be a third. I mean, if he continues to do this. So how does this work? If the guy, can they come back with, he's already got $5 million, right? You come back with 10, you come back with 20, 100? Can you make it contingent that if he keeps, every time he says something, he's got to, you know, pay another $10 million? I mean, for real, what can practically be done? Because if the guy never shuts up, if he continues to do it and blows off what the court says and continues to defame E. Jean Carroll, what can be done about it?
Right. Where's the end of this exactly? Yeah. And also, of course, we know that during the course of the trial itself, he has been doing the same thing, not only in these campaign appearances, but quite literally in real time while the trial is going on, he's doing it. It is stunning. And to Roberta Kaplan's credit, she is finding out about that and playing them to the jury almost in real time. There's more damage being done while the trial is going on. It is incredible. And to answer your question about contingencies and what about the future, when the judgment comes back, that draws a bright line, if you will, at least on the engagement of defamation that Donald Trump has done to that point. He does it again after the judgment comes back, and you're absolutely right. E. Jean Carroll can go back again and say, let's initiate yet a third round of litigation and start this over again. Again, that kind of thing, I suspect she's going to be arguing about that tomorrow morning when oral arguments happen. Be fascinating to hear what Donald Trump's lawyers are going to say about all this. But that issue, once again, of stopping him from doing this, that's what this case is all about. Who knows if he will ever, ever pay these multi-million dollar judgments, but they're intended to do just that, deterrence, which we talk about a lot. Stop this. Stop this. It's only going to get worse.
All right, Jim, let's move along. The three-judge panel, the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C., they heard oral arguments back on January 9th about Trump's, you know, ultimate presidential immunity. I can do anything. I can, you know, assassinate my political rivals. We haven't heard anything back yet, Jim. What does that say to you? This seems like a slam dunk to me. What are your thoughts, Counsel?
It is a slam dunk. This is a no-brainer. This is nothing to see here kind of a thing, as we have chatted about before. No president in our history, no president of the Constitution has a right to a complete pass when it comes to criminal activity. And again, to make the point that we have shared before on this fine broadcast, if any court, including the Court of Appeals, including the Supreme Court, they shouldn't even come close to this. If any court says, yes, indeed, there is even some area of behavior where he has got a criminal immunity, that's when we've got kings. That's when our republic is destroyed. We go back then to having a monarchy as opposed to what we have today. So the Court of Appeals, that's right, January 9th, has taken this under advisement. It is the kind of thing that is so important to the nation, although the underlying issue is so ridiculous, but it's important to get this resolved and get this put to bed, because it is the one thing that's standing between a start of the trial in D.C. in front of Judge Shutkin on what Mike identifies as the single most important case. Appropriately, this is the interference case. The Court of Appeals needs to issue this opinion. I assume that they're putting together a 50-100-page order to establish this so it's clear on appeal. It goes up to the Supreme Court that they've done their work, but this should be done expeditiously. They need to stay up all night to get this done, get this resolved. Supreme Court, if Donald Trump seeks review before them, should say no, goes back to Judge Shutkin so the trial can be conducted forthwith.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, our friend, former U.S. attorney, he's going to stick around for another segment. Lots and lots of things to discuss, Jim. Always a pleasure when you come around the Devil's Advocates. We appreciate it. Folks, you stick around. Jim, think about this for a moment. On this particular case, Republican-appointed Judge Karen Henderson, any concerns, and think about this when we come back, that maybe she would write her own opinion on this, perhaps throw it back to Shutkin. We'll address that and some other issues as well. Stick around.
You got it. You got another one right there. That's another one, pal.
One more right there. I'm doing society a favor.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show, James Santella, former U.S. attorney, our friend, sticking around for a segment. Thank you, Jim. Before the break, talking about Judge Karen Henderson, the D.C. Court of Appeals, perhaps wondering if she could write her own opinion, bring it back, throw it back to Chutkan, suggesting perhaps the actions could be considered official acts as president. What do you think the odds are of this, Jim?
It's entirely possible. So the procedure here is you've got three judges, and it's fairly clear from the comments and the questions during the course of the oral argument that none of them is buying into this theory. Even Judge Henderson said something like, it's paradoxical to say that there's a constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, and then also can go out and violate the criminal law. So right. I think she's going to write an opinion, if she does decide to concur, that is, again, supporting the ultimate judgment. But she could, if she doesn't join the opinion of the other two, she could write in concurrence, agreeing with them, but on a different basis. And she was asking some procedural questions, as do all appellate court judges, about the consequences of this. My sense is that you'll get either a 2-1, that's probably remote, but probably a 3-0, and maybe, Dom, as you're indicating, Judge Henderson will write separately to support the judgment, but find it maybe on a different basis. Although, once again, she was pretty clear during the course of the oral argument that even she was not buying into what Donald Trump and his attorneys were attempting to sell on that day.
Jim, you're probably very aware we're right in the middle of a presidential campaign now, right? And Donald Trump, apparently these indictments make him irresistible to the MAGA Republican base. I don't understand it, Jim, but I'm not a MAGA Republican. But those that are apparently are picking this guy. And when he goes into court with E. Jean Carroll for no apparent reason, well, of course, the reason is because then the cameras flock him. Then he has a media opportunity. And strangely, I don't think this guy truly feels like there is any bad press, because he continues to steal the attention of the American people. So again, we contrast Joe Biden delivering bridges and bringing home the bacon in the state of Wisconsin today, and this guy is going to face down a second defamation trial against a woman he's already credibly been, you know, civilly found raped a woman. And this is the association he goes back to over and over again. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's defaming her in real time during the trial. So I don't get it, Jim. This could be a monstrous financial ruling if it is. If the jury says $1 billion, Kaplan will probably knock that down. Would they not? Would the judge not knock that down to some realistic figure?
It could do that. Again, the jury should be, I hesitate to say temperate, but at least balanced in rendering a punitive judgment amount here. But you're absolutely right, Mike. So what's really going on here is even today gives Donald Trump more fodder out there in the world beyond the courtroom. Why? Because he can come back and say Lewis Kaplan, again, no relationship to the attorney who's representing E. Jean Carroll. Lewis Kaplan cuts him off when he begins to talk once again about his intent and those kinds of things, even in a relatively scripted understanding with counsel about what he can and cannot say. Why? So he will now go out there and say, yep, once again, I'm in court and the judge didn't let me testify. That is not the case. That is simply not the case. There's a thing called relevance. And again, we're focused upon, as you just indicated, the monetary part of this. The judge gave him his opportunity. His attorney asks some badly worded questions. He responds in a way that's kind of irrelevant too. And the judge says, we're done with this. Roberta Kaplan then comes back, and she is equally brief because she recognizes there's nothing here to say. And again, Donald Trump may well say, gee, even E. Jean Carroll's attorney had nothing to question me on. All of that is a misrepresentation of what goes on. And you know what it depends upon? It depends fundamentally, it is horrible to say, on the lack of understanding of at least his portion of the American public about what's really going on here. Judges don't just cut people off for no reason. They decide on evidence. And when people don't understand that, they can buy into the crazy that Donald Trump then describes his trial as. That's the problem here. People, he depends upon them not understanding what's going on.
Folks, he is James Santel. You're listening to The Devil's Advocates. I know you're always a gracious guy, but let's talk for just a moment about Trump's counsel, Alina Haba. And Jim, the look says it. I wish the people on the radio could hear your look. But Alina Haba, well, she is of questionable credentials as a lawyer. Let's just say, I'll be gracious for you, Jim. But here's something interesting. She claimed she had COVID last week and then went to a Trump party that night. And it is my understanding that the judge in this case may sanction her over her misrepresentations to the court. Jim, I've always tried to tell the truth to the court. Can you tell me what would that look like? And, you know, is this monetary? Could she get disbarment? How serious could this be?
Yes, yes, and yes. So you might think, well, gee, that's unrelated to the substance of the trial. The judge has no jurisdiction. Just the opposite. If, especially in a situation like this, where the trial was what? The trial was delayed because of this COVID concern, right? If I stand up and I say, you know what, Your Honor, I can't go ahead because my witness is not prepared. They haven't arrived yet. There's some other problem I have. I've got a personal issue. My family has a health emergency of some kind. And I make that representation as an officer of the court, and it has an impact upon the trial. And it turns out that what I have said is not true. Absolutely. You don't do this in front of the jury, but you inquire the following morning, counsel, let's talk about what you said to me yesterday, and let me determine whether or not what you said is true or not. That had an impact upon the trial. And therefore, what can a judge do? You bet. Sanction an attorney? Money. $500, $1,000, more than that, depending upon what the judge feels, once again, should be imposed upon that attorney for violating the basic rules of the court, which are ultimately, fundamentally being honest, if nothing more. She is not. In addition, my expression, which maybe the viewers watching this on live streaming here saw, she's also plainly, as the judge has pointed out, incompetent. Yes, I'll use the I word. Even her singular question today is, did you ever instruct anyone to hurt Ms. Carroll in your statements? Huh? What? What does that have to do with damages? And the judge lets it in, and thankfully the whole thing concludes. She had some problems early on, even getting documents in, doesn't understand how to establish what's called a foundation, and the judge has to instruct her on how to do that. This is law school trial practice stuff, and she is plainly not up to this job.
Jim, last 60 seconds, New York Times is reporting today that the Manhattan DA is quietly preparing for a Trump trial. I mean, if this thing gets delayed, at least the J6, the March date, do you think Alvin Bragg would be the first to go?
Could be. He has always been very gracious, if you will, and saying, you know what, if these other trials don't, if they go, I'm willing to take a second stage to you. But he's got, again, this the payoff trial. He's got the hush money trial. It's not a small trial, but it's not that elaborate either. And he's always said, I'm ready to go. He could, well, I hesitate to say, slip in there. But the judge in front of him could also say, I've got time. Let's try this in a week or so. Let's get this underway. And that could happen. That could be the first trial not only to go, but also the first criminal indictment, as we recall, against Donald Trump a long, long time ago.
And you, counselor, will be invited back to describe the testimony given that the former president raw dogged a porn star. Thank you, counselor, for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates. Jim Santel calling Haba incompetent. Jim, I never thought I'd hear it from you. Wonderful to see you, counselor. Thank you.
Good to be with you as always, gentlemen. Take care.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Boeing MAX 9 jets could be flying passengers again soon, says CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Once those inspections are completed, those planes can go back into service. Alaska tells us the inspections can take up to 12 hours. They expect some of their MAX 9 aircraft to be ready to enter scheduled service Friday.
Alabama has executed a man who killed Elizabeth Sennett in 1988, her son Mike Sennett.
Nothing happened here today is going to bring mom back. Nothing. It's kind of a bittersweet day.
Kenneth Smith was put to death with nitrogen gas. Former President Trump has come out in opposition to a bipartisan plan that would strengthen the southern border and give more aid to Ukraine. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Hanging in the balance, emergency money to help Ukraine replenish its weapons and equipment, as the Biden administration says the Pentagon has run out of money for Ukraine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers promises to veto a redistricting bill making its way through the legislature. Republicans are touting the bill as 99% of what Evers asked for in a map proposal in 2021. But Evers says changes made to the proposal still amount to gerrymandering. The state Supreme Court will enact a redistricting plan this spring if lawmakers and the governor don't do it first. The State Department of Natural Resources Fish and Wildlife Fund is approaching a budget deficit of almost $16 million by 2026. That fund helps to employ around 500 people. DNR officials say that fewer and fewer people are buying hunting licenses. They've floated a number of ways to address the deficit, including taking a closer look at how many people they employ and relying more on federal funding. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of rain, fog, even some snowflakes from time to time in the overnight. Our lows dropping to right near the freezing mark with light northeast winds developing. On your Friday, rain possibly mixing with snow at times before it comes to an end. Upper 30s in the late afternoon. It's 33 at our studios.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues, thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Trudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary, Tuesday, February 6th, through Super Bowl Friday, Trudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thursday, that makes it Friday Eve up in here, right, Dom? I know you love living for the weekends. We'll air some grievances, but Jim Santel is not one of them. Thank you to our good friend, the fine host of the Saturday morning 9 to 11 slot. Looking to maybe do a rebrand. You know, the problem is the Morning Cannolis program, as you may know it, cannoli is the plural of cannoli. So calling it the Morning Cannolis is grammatically incorrect and is bothered many of the fine, intelligent people that listen to Jim's show. And he's such a gracious and nice guy. He just let it pass. I feel like we stuck him with that moniker in some way, shape, or form, Dom. You know, we played the
hey, don't blame me, man. I love me Godfather. Some cannoli, but it wasn't me.
Well, the Godfather, right? Leave the gun, take the cannolis. He says cannolis. So, of course, that's the way it's always said. And you know, poor Jim stuck with an ungrammatical morning show. But it's excellent in content and soon to have a new brand. But you should listen. No matter what they call it, it's damn good radio. Thank you, Jim.
Come on.
You can always be a part of this show. Make this damn good. Some would say the greatest radio show ever. And, you know, people continue to ask me, Dom, I was asked last night, close friends, why are you guys so lacking in humility? Why do you call it the greatest radio show ever? I said, well, damn it, that's the truth. 844-967-2789.
I've been listening to the radio my whole life. This is literally the greatest radio show ever. What do you want me to say?
You're welcome. Mary from Wauwatosa, welcome. What do you got for us, Mary?
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for this opportunity to express my opinion about what has so many of us perplexed about Donald Trump. A significant part of my life has been that of a caregiver for a relative having a serious mental illness, a lot of suffering there. And as a result, I've had a close-up look at the condition of psychosis, also known as detachment from reality. And one time, at the wisdom and guidance of an RN who thought that family members and consumers needed a better understanding of psychosis, she offered us a course called How to Enter the World of Psychosis. It was revealing. And so in my lay opinion, as we all hear about and, you know, from Donald Trump and try with great difficulty to understand him, I think we all have a front row view of psychosis. Just my opinion. I hear your comments off the air. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mary. Mary, I admire caregivers. And for those that know and listen long enough, you may know that my wife does the Empowered Caregiver show here on the Civic Media Network Wednesday nights. It also plays out Saturdays at 8 a.m. I encourage people to listen to that. It's a big part of the population. So first and foremost, thank you for what you do. But psychosis, I mean, I think that gives him the benefit of the doubt, Dom. I don't want to attribute anything other than his own flaws to him. I don't want to blame it on something. I mean, he is who he is. And you know, the clinicians can argue over what you call it, but I don't want to somehow diminish it or someone else's condition by saying, oh, that guy's got the same thing Donald Trump has.
Well, certainly, and thank you for your call. Certainly, Donald Trump has issues, I would say it. You know, narcissism, you know, being let off the hook, getting away with things his entire life. But that's not the psychosis. Perhaps there is an aging issue. Nikki Haley's been hitting him on this before. But I would point out the Drudge Report, literally today, has a link to TheExpress.com. Concerned White House staff called psychiatrist about Trump's mental instability in 2017. Again, on the Drudge at the-express.com. Let's assume that's the case. So this has been perhaps going on for quite some time. I mean, it's certainly concerning. It's hard to, you know, analyze anyone just from what we see in the short time that we have, because Trump's all over the place. But when someone like Donald Trump is posting on a social media like 30 or 40 times late at night, going off the rails, I mean, that's not normal behavior. You know what I mean? That's beyond the narcissism. I think there's something there. Is it related to the age? Is it something different? I have absolutely no idea. All I do know is that if that guy was sitting next to me at the bar, I'd be busting his chops and not accepting anything he had to say.
844-967-2789. Don, before we go to additional callers, be patient for a minute. Let's question what his current mental state might be. Here is fresh reporting from the Washington Post as Trump has come out of the trial today. A visibly angry Donald Trump took the witness stand in New York federal court Thursday, delivering a few minutes of testimony in a defamation damages trial against him before walking out of court in a huff, declaring, "This is not America." He's having a bad day. The former president's much anticipated testimony in a civil trial brought by writer E. Jean Carroll for defaming Heard did not offer much in the way of evidence, but the frontrunner for the GOP presidential nomination complained bitterly before and after testifying that the judge was being unfair to him. Unfair. This guy's the biggest snowflake in the history of America, is he not?
I mean, because being held responsible to someone who's never been held responsible can seem like persecution. To everybody else, it's just the way of the world, man.
The trial is meant to determine what, if any, damages he owes. We know that part. You know, the first one, $5 billion. I think it could be. Here's the over-under.
50.
I've got a bigger number than that. I think it's going to be over 50. I'm going to use this the over-under. The prior judgment against Rudy Giuliani, $148 million. That was a defamation suit, was it not?
Ooh.
I'm going to say $148 million. This thing's going to ratchet up.
All right, I'm taking the under.
Coming on the heels of a resounding win in New Hampshire's primary this week, Thursday's courthouse hearing highlighted the degree to which his legal troubles seem to have boosted, not hampered, his appeal to Republican voters. CJ's out there thinking, this is my guy. This defaming rapist, my guy. These are all the characters I look for in leadership. 91 indictments, I love him more. Trump also faces four separate criminal trials. He is denied wrongdoing in all cases. And U.S. District Judge Louis A. Kaplan had repeatedly warned Trump lawyer Alina Haba that if the former president testified, the number of topics he could discuss would be severely limited, based in part on the rules of evidence. We talked about that with Jim Santel. "I want to know everything he's going to say before he gets on the stand," Kaplan said sternly, as the lawyers discussed the boundary lines of Trump's testimony. That's always a guy who's, you know, he's always, yeah. he likes boundaries, right, Tom? Like I do. I like to be restrained. Give me some guardrails. The former president muttered loud enough for some observers in the courtroom to hear, "I never met her. I've never seen her before," Trump said from the defense table, noting that he didn't attend the first trial. Those comments immediately earned the judge's wrath. "Mr. Trump, please keep your voice down," the judge scolded him. Trump didn't heed the warning, and Kaplan reprimanded him again, quickly saying, "I'm sorry, Mr. Trump, you're interrupting these proceedings by talking loudly while your attorney is talking, and that is not permitted." I don't think Trump's having a good day. This psychosis, it might really be kicking his ass right about now.
844-967-2789. There's a little bit here as well. This one from the Mediaite, and I'm going to give you some warning right now, parents. If your children are in the car, give them the earmuffs. Here's what is being reported. Following a brief recess, Judge Louis Kaplan asked Trump's attorney, Lynn Haba, if she had any more witnesses to call the stand. When Haba responded that the former president intended to testify, Kaplan interrupted her to make a statement. Quote, "I have a few things to say. There was a trial last year about the truth or falsity of Ms. Carroll's claims. Mr. Trump was listed as a witness but did not testify. The jury found for Ms. Carroll. There are no do-overs. It's called issue preclusion or collateral estoppel," Kaplan informed the jury, according to journalist Matthew Russell. Kaplan added, and here's the earmuffs, "The jury found that Mr. Trump inserted his fingers into her vagina." This is the judge. "And that Ms. Carroll did not make up her claim, and that Mr. Trump's June 11th and June 22nd statements were defamatory. Now, Mr. Trump may not make any argument against this." That's how he was introduced to the jury on his way to testify in his defense, quote unquote.
From the Washington Post, when Haba told Kaplan that Trump had denied the sexual assault, Trump said angrily, "Still do."
Maybe 148 million is really close. I mean, come on.
148 million over under.
He's still doing it. He's still doing it like to this day, yesterday. He's still doing it. And he's, say, you know, 50 million, 100 million. He's still going to do it. Then what? A billion? When does, at what point does the guy shut his mouth?
Unbelievable. The former president muttered to himself at one point as he stood in the well of the court. Trump could be heard complaining bitterly to his lawyer, saying, "You should be able to do this. This is a separate trial." I don't even know what that means. When in time, it was time to stop reviewing matters with the judge and start testifying, Trump lumbered slowly to the witness stand, walking past the 9-member jury without looking at them. He raised his right hand, swore to tell the truth. Tell the truth. I know it's hard for me to say, and quickly angered the judge again. Why? By lying? But let's read what the Post reports. Though Kaplan had warned Trump and his lawyers to keep his answers brief, Trump said he denied Carol's accusation when she first made them because, "I just wanted to defend myself, my family, and frankly, the presidency." Kaplan immediately ordered that statement stricken from the official record of the trial. Trump was briefly cross-examined, as noted by our pal, James Santel, by Carol's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, but had his total time on the witness stand done within 5 minutes. 5 minutes. "This is not America." A phrase he repeated, getting louder and louder, Trump, as he walked out of the room, flanked by his lawyers. "It's not America."
844-967-2789. Jennifer from Madison, Wisconsin, you are next. Welcome, Jennifer. What do you got for us?
Oh, hi. I just have a comment about Trump's bloody hands that he was showing the other day after he came out of the courtroom.
Do you remember? He has apparently lesions on his hands. I saw the pictures, the close-ups on Talking Point Memo, and he has some sort of bloody lesions on his hands.
Well, you know, I've heard things like, oh, he has syphilis because he slept with the, you know, whatever. Anyway, but that's not what I think it is. So here's my theory, and I haven't heard this anywhere else. I think he got mad, threw a little fit, cut his hands, and then thought, well, gee, I have all of these evangelicals that are really thinking I'm the savior. And I could pretend this was the stigmata. Don't you think? I mean, there's all those like, you know, where he thinks he's the new Jesus. So that's my theory.
Well, that's a better theory from the personal point of view. I would rather be the second coming of Christ than the guy with syphilis. You know, that's just a better narrative from my point of view.
He might actually, yeah, he could be both. But, you know, and, you know, in reference to how crazy he is, just listen to Mary Trump. And I've also heard there's some woman and she's a clinical psychologist and she's written a book. And I can't remember her name, but, you know, there's a lot of professionals in the field that think he's a malignant narcissist. So I don't think it's like speculation on the part of just the general public that he's got a serious problem.
Well, being a narcissist isn't, and thank you for the call, Jennifer. Certainly appreciate it. I mean, anyone could be a narcissist if you try hard enough. But if you have some other mental issues that perhaps you cannot control, that's really the question. But well, we certainly appreciate you listening and hanging out with us.
And I would just question, Jennifer, don't we, the American people, don't all of us, don't we have the problem? You know, because this guy's trying to be the president again. Come back, one last segment for your phone calls, 844-967-2789. The Devil's Advocates rolling through a Thursday Happier Happy Hour.
This This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you want to shout out the devil, do so right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around, the Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Well, you stole my thunder. I thought I had a cool way of introducing Maggie's show, but now it's not worth repeating. She is a good friend, and I enjoyed her company immensely last night. Very possessive of Maggie's company because I don't get to hang out with her. She's Milwaukeeite. She lives in Milwaukee.
I get to see Maggie a lot more than you.
I know. I'm jealous. So very cool to hang out with Maggie and Catherine and my wife, and Casper came down as well. Always great to see you.
Oh, nice.
844-967-2789. You can be welcomed here on the Devil's Advocates. Shout at us. Give us a call. Let's go to the phones. John from Boaz. How you doing, John?
Hey, John.
Hi. This is the greatest radio show ever, and you guys are you're doing it right now because you're making this airwaves. And, Mike, can I be respectful asking you be nothing without your little buddy, Dom?
I know. Most days he does have to carry me.
I'm like Gilligan over here, man.
John, drop the mic. What? You know, you are much better natured on the radio than in real life. I'll just say that. 844.
That's not true. That's
967-2789. Just as ranty, but the friendly, happy Dom I only see on the radio. So
that's the FCC requirement, man. I have to be. I can't say what I really want to say.
Filter, earmuffs. Jack from Merrimack, welcome back to the show. What do you got for us, Jack?
Hi, Jack.
First of all, if you or I, or let's say the Waukesha Great murderer, were to make the kinds of crazy things that Trump is saying in court, they'd be shut into a glass soundproof cage. Oh, that's what they actually did with this guy. So why don't they do it with Trump? That's the first thing. Second thing is about Carrie Lake. I'm going to make you offer you can't refuse. If it quacks like a bribe and it walks like a bribe, then it is a bribe. And finally, my grievance for the day, don't call it in Wisconsin a bipartisan infrastructure bill because not one single Wisconsin Republican voted for it.
Not only that, Jack, not one single Republican voted for the Infrastructure Act, period. Not just Wisconsin. Like no Republicans voted for it, Jack.
No, that's not true. This bipartisan bill was a bipartisan bill. There were two infrastructure bills that passed. This one that was being touted today was a bipartisan bill, according to the White House, and did have some congressional support. But you make an absolutely perfect point, Jack. Not from any of the Wisconsin Republicans. And certainly not from Ron Johnson.
Yeah. Who wants to close the entire Mexican border?
Ah, Jack, you make an interesting point. Have a great day, buddy. Thanks for listening. I see that Republican Senate leadership is begging the former president not to come wading into this whole Ukraine border bill negotiations. I mean,
too late.
It's bad enough trying to negotiate with the terrorists from your own party, and I mean Ron Johnson and the Mike Lee factions. But you throw Trump in, man, this deal's going to come apart.
He's already out there today tweeting whatever, truthying out Mitt Romney was the gas that Donald Trump would want to, you know, hold up some sort of Republican Democratic deal to, you know, address the migration issue here in this country. And Donald Trump, much like his kind of attitude with regards to the economy, I hope it crashes. You know, I mean, Donald Trump wants bad things to happen, so it hurts his political opponent, and then he can come in on his white horse and his mega crowd and quote unquote what solve the problem then to what sign the same deal that perhaps the Republicans and the Democrats are working diligently on. I mean, what kind of person would want, you know, terrible things to happen to the country that they want to represent, that they live in, that they want to be the president of, just to help their own political aspirations? I mean, this narcissism, I mean, I don't know what you call it. Maybe there's more than that, but damn, I don't want that guy. Why would you want that person? Would you hire that person? You want the person dating a family member? I mean, would you hang out with that person? I don't think you would.
Certainly, I would not want Trump dating a family member. I think it's sort of awkward he wants to date his own family member, Stomp, but that's a different conversation. But here's one thing I want to, my final thought for the day, Dom. It's not just Trump. It is all the MAGA Republicans. They have all become his enablers. You know, we just mentioned the fact there wasn't a single Republican of conscience that voted for the bipartisan investment deal. And Joe Biden got some bipartisan stuff done, but not with these Republicans, not with these Wisconsin Republicans. Look it up, man. It's worth a Google. Why do you look at me?
I did look it up, but that's why I'm still a little confused. But please continue. I'm not going to deal with it right now.
When would be the time? Friday when we air the grievances? You're going to have a grievance? You're going to throw me under the bus?
How can you say bipartisan when no? You just said it's a bipartisan deal, but no Republican voted for it. Well, isn't the definition
of bipartisan? No Wisconsin Republican. Republican voted. I wanted to draw that distinction because you said no Republican vote for it. And I said, yes, indeed they did. Just none of ours. None of the six gerrymandered current Republican congressmen from the state of Wisconsin.
And we're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. Is that, I just want to be clear on what bill you're talking about.
I believe they were touting the bipartisan infrastructure investment today in Wisconsin. I believe that was actually what was being touted was the bipartisan bill, but you know, so often it is Republicans that voted against that want to go and claim the credit. Now, again, the president of the United States was in Superior delivering the bacon today, a big old bucket full of money to build a bridge from here to
Duluth. Delivering bacon makes it seem like it's pork, man. I mean, we're talking about infrastructure. You got a 60-year-old bridge that's going to be $1 billion to replace. I mean, it's not the only bridge in this country. We need to continually do this. It's infrastructure.
I don't know if you know, Dom, but when I say something's bacon, that's a compliment. That's a positive.
I love bacon.
I love bacon. Doesn't everybody? They love bacon.
Not everybody loves bacon, but I love bacon.
Only Republicans would refuse the bacon. They refused to expand the Medicaid. They refused to expand. They refused high-speed rail, broadband internet expansion. Only Republicans hate bacon. We love Jim Santel. Thank you so much, James, for joining us on this show. Tune in Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. I don't know what it's called, but you'll find him there. And tune in to us on Friday. Maggie Dawn is next. We're going to build a bridge from here to there.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged
have more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour.